and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr. and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
For years, Singapore has won trust among Western countries while keeping on good terms with the Chinese government. Today, the island nation is closely following the case of one of its citizens caught spying for China in the United States. The arrest has fueled concerns over China asking Singaporeans to help with intelligence gathering. Junwei Yeo admitted guilt in a U.S. court last week to acting as an illegal agent of Chinese intelligence. He will be sentenced in October and faces up to 10 years in prison. Yeo is a 39-year-old academic who also uses the name Dixon Yeo. Singapore's Home Ministry said in a brief statement that it had known of Yeo's case since his arrest by U.S. officials in November. The ministry confirmed he is receiving assistance from Singaporean diplomats in the United States. Court documents show Yeo became a spy for the Chinese 4 years earlier while attending a meeting in Beijing. He went there to give a presentation on Southeast Asian politics. Yeo moved to the United States in January of 2019. One fool like this can get all Singaporeans suspected, said Bilahari Kaushikan, an academic and former Singaporean diplomat. At first, the Chinese told Yeo he was representing Chinese-based research centers. They offered to pay him for political reports and other information. He later learned some of his contacts were from Chinese intelligence agents. Told to find people with non-public information about politics, economics, and diplomacy, Yeo first targeted Southeast Asia before turning to the United States. When he moved to the U.S. last year, the Chinese gave him a bank card and told him to communicate with them on several phones to avoid being caught. Using the business networking website LinkedIn, Yeo reached out to people who had financial or work problems. He paid them to write reports. Among those he persuaded to give up information was a civilian with high-level security clearance working on a U.S. military program. Yeo's former professor at Singapore's Lee Kuan Yew School of Public Policy was an ethnic Chinese U.S. citizen. In 2017, Singaporean officials accused that man, Huang Jing, of being a spy for an unnamed country. Huang denied the accusations. He was never found guilty, but was forced to leave Singapore. Now working in Beijing, Huang said he was shocked and pleased that Yeo had been caught. He said Yeo had a sense of insecurity and hunger for being somebody. The Home Ministry said investigations into Yeo had not found any direct threat to Singapore. He may have not betrayed his own country, but he was caught spying against the United States, the superpower with whom Singapore has close security ties. China denied knowing anything about Yeo's case. It accused the United States of using the spying charges to hurt China. Relations between the two countries hit a new low during the past week. The United States closed China's consulate in Houston, and China then seized the U.S. consulate in Chengdu. Yeo's case raised concerns among Western researchers that Singapore was an easy place for China to find spies. Well-educated ethnic Chinese people have passports that enable them to travel almost anywhere. People might be more suspicious of Singaporeans if there is a perception that Singapore is compromised, said Chong Jia-yin. He is a visiting Singapore scholar at the Harvard Yenching Institute in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Singapore is often described as the Switzerland of Asia because of its wealth, international financial system, and neutrality. It is one of the most politically stable countries in an area where the United States and China have competing interests. China is Singapore's biggest trading partner, as it is for many countries in Asia. The Jamestown Foundation, a U.S.-based research center, said that China used business groups and other organizations in Singapore to spread misinformation about China. Nearly 75% of the island nation's citizens are ethnic Chinese. Bilveer Singh is with the National University of Singapore. He says the small nation's openness and location has made it a base for many countries' spies. Yeo was definitely not an isolated case, he said. I'm Mario Ritter Jr.
The United States is preparing to return to the planet Mars. The U.S. space agency NASA plans to have a spacecraft called Perseverance deploy a rover on the planet's surface. The vehicle has been called the brainiest Martian rover yet. NASA officials say its mission will be to search for signs of life on the red planet. This will be the space agency's fifth rover to explore Mars. The first, named Sojourner, was sent in 1997. Then came Spirit and Opportunity, which landed in 2004. The fourth rover, Curiosity, has been exploring the planet since 2012. The missions have resulted in valuable information. The vehicles helped gather data showing Mars was not always the cold and empty place it is today. Experiments provided evidence that at one time the planet held several chemical elements that may have supported life. These included running water, organic molecules, and a more favorable climate. In 2018, Curiosity found large amounts of organic molecules in 3.5 billion-year-old rock in an area that once had a large lake. Scientists have yet to show that the molecules were a product of biological processes linked to life as we know it. NASA says Perseverance aims to take the next step in searching for signs of ancient microbial life. The rover will also study the planet's climate and surface materials. Perseverance is NASA's largest, heaviest, and most technology-loaded vehicle ever sent to Mars. The six-wheeled rover is 3 meters long, a little over 2 meters tall, and weighs 1,000 kilograms. It has 19 cameras, 2 microphones, and a 2-meter-long robotic arm. A machine connected to the robotic arm will drill down into the surface to gather rock and soil samples. These particles will then be put in special tubes and stored away for eventual return to Earth. NASA says the tubes went through an extreme cleaning and baking process to remove any microorganisms from Earth. A mission to collect the samples is planned for 2026. NASA said that back on Earth, we can investigate the samples with instruments too large and complex to send to Mars. The rover is equipped with X-ray and imaging systems to study the chemical makeup of Martian surface materials and to identify possible organic compounds. It will be a long trip for Perseverance, which is expected to reach the Jezero crater on Mars in February 2021. The area is 45 kilometers wide and sits just north of the planet's equator. Researchers suspect that a river flowed into a large body of water at Jezero between 3 and 4 billion years ago. This was the main reason the crater was chosen for the Perseverance mission, notes NASA project scientist Ken Farley. The crater area is a promising place for finding organic molecules and other potential signs of microbial life, he added. One experiment planned for Perseverance will involve a device designed to convert carbon dioxide from Mars' atmosphere into oxygen. The experiment aims to demonstrate a way to produce the important gas, which could be used by astronauts or as fuel on future missions. Perseverance also is carrying a small experimental helicopter called Ingenuity. NASA says the 1.8-kilogram aircraft will attempt its first flight a few months after arrival on Mars. NASA officials hope it will be the first helicopter to ever fly on another planet. Ingenuity project leader Mimi Ng told the Associated Press, the helicopter will start out like a baby bird, attempting to rise about 3 meters off the surface. It will then try to push forward into the planet's extremely thin atmosphere. Other flight tests will be carried out, with Ingenuity trying to go a little higher and farther each time. It really is like the Wright brothers moment, Ong said. If the tests are successful, such helicopters could assist astronauts on future search and collection missions. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He was also known as Jack Kennedy, or by the letters JFK. When he took office in 1961, Kennedy was 43 years old. He was the youngest elected president in United States history. Kennedy was also the first Catholic to be elected U.S. president. Kennedy's youth and religion raised questions in the minds of some Americans that Kennedy could lead the country. They wondered if he would always follow the policies of the Roman Catholic Church. But Kennedy became well known as a statesman and popular with people around the world. He was intelligent, funny, and good-looking. For many, Kennedy was a sign of new energy and hope. The public was shocked then when the president's term was violently cut short. John F. Kennedy was born in 1917 near Boston, Massachusetts. He was the second of nine children. Both his parents were Catholic, with ancestors from Ireland. Many years ago, Irish Catholics faced discrimination in the United States. But the Kennedy family was also politically powerful and wealthy. As a result, young Jack Kennedy grew up in big, beautiful houses and received a top-quality education. His family did not suffer during the Great Depression, as many Americans had. Instead, the Kennedy children swam, sailed boats, and played sports. Jack also enjoyed reading books and following the news. His older brother Joe wanted to enter politics, but Jack said he might become a teacher or writer. When he was a college student at Harvard, Jack wrote a long paper about Britain in the years leading up to World War II. A version of it was published in 1940 as a book. The war changed Jack's thinking about his future plans. During World War II, both Jack and his older brother joined the U.S. Navy. In the Pacific, Jack became a hero. He won medals for leading some of his troops to safety after a Japanese warship struck a boat they were on. But Joe was killed. In 1944, his airplane exploded over Europe. When the war ended, Jack's father urged him to follow his brother's dream of succeeding in politics. Jack agreed, and he set his sights on becoming the country's first Catholic president. Kennedy was nominated as the Democratic Party's candidate, and he was elected in 1960. He easily defeated Vice President Richard Nixon, the Republican candidate, in the Electoral College. But Kennedy won only narrowly in the popular vote. Though he was young, Kennedy brought experience to the job. In addition to being a naval officer, Kennedy had been a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, as well as a senator from Massachusetts. He also published a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Profiles in Courage. And he had become a husband and father. He married a wealthy, well-educated woman who had been working as a newspaper photographer. Her name was Jacqueline Bouvier, but she was sometimes called Jackie. She became pregnant 5 times, but only 2 of her children would survive, a daughter named Carolyn and a son, John F. Kennedy, Jr. The family of 4 moved into the White House in January 1961. On the day he was sworn in, Kennedy gave a speech that many people still remember today. It celebrated the new generation of Americans and promised to pay any price for liberty. Supporters of the new president loved his energy and sense of hope. In his most famous line, Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Many young people remembered that line when they volunteered for a program Kennedy created in 1961, the Peace Corps. Other Americans remembered the line when they watched 2 Apollo 11 astronauts walk on the moon in 1969. Kennedy strongly supported the country's space program. He promised that Americans would land on the moon by the end of the 1960s, and they did. Kennedy also supported efforts to improve civil rights across the U.S., although his administration moved slowly. Calls to end legalized racism were growing stronger during Kennedy's time in office, particularly because of the leadership of Martin Luther King, Jr. In June of 1963, King spoke to hundreds of thousands of people at a civil rights protest called the March on Washington. He told the crowd that he dreamed, "My 4 little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The March on Washington, among other events, showed the power of the civil rights movement. In late 1963, President Kennedy sent a civil rights bill to Congress and spoke to Americans about the injustice that remained in the country. The Peace Corps, the space race, and civil rights are all part of Kennedy's legacy. Kennedy is also remembered for several troubling international events. In one, known as the Bay of Pigs, Americans supported Cuban refugees in an effort to oust the government of Fidel Castro. Not only did the refugees fail, but Kennedy's government was found to be lying about their support of the effort. And Kennedy faced off with the leader of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev. In 1962, American leaders learned that the Soviets had hidden nuclear weapons in Cuba. The missiles would be able to reach the U.S. mainland easily. Kennedy ordered a blockade of Cuba. People around the world held their breath as they waited to see if the U.S. and the Soviet Union would launch a nuclear war. They did not. After several very tense weeks, Kennedy and Khrushchev reached an agreement that ended the crisis. Kennedy went on to reach an agreement with the Soviet Union and Britain to limit nuclear weapons testing. He said the agreement was one of the presidential acts of which he was most satisfied. Historians still debate Kennedy's actions and what else might have happened during his presidency. They wonder especially what he would have done about the increasing conflict in Vietnam. But Kennedy did not live to finish his first term. By November 22, 1963, Kennedy had been president for just under 3 years. The next election was still a year away, but it was time to start campaigning again. So the president and his wife went to Dallas, Texas, to connect with voters. They were riding in a car with other official vehicles that drove slowly through the center of the city. Jack, Jackie, and the Texas governor and his wife sat in a convertible, an automobile without protection over the seats. The president was waving at the crowd. Suddenly, several gunshots were fired. The president was struck twice. The governor was also hit and injured. Kennedy was hurried to a hospital, but doctors were unable to help him. News reporters announced his death to a stunned public. Hours later, Jackie Kennedy appeared next to the former vice president, now president, Lyndon Johnson. She still wore the clothes with her husband's blood on them. The events remain intense in the minds of many Americans who were alive at the time. The images remain easily recognizable parts of American history. The pictures of Kennedy's family at his funeral are especially memorable. In one, 3-year-old John holds up his arm and salutes his father's casket. Attention quickly turned to the gunman. It was reportedly a 24-year-old man named Lee Harvey Oswald. Shortly after the president and the governor were shot, Oswald shot a policeman who questioned him. Oswald was eventually detained. Officials planned to bring him to court for the death of the president and the policeman. But on the way from the police station to the jail, a local nightclub owner shot and killed Oswald. As a result, the case never came to trial. Many Americans believe the reason for the attack has yet to be clarified. Historians have a mixed reaction to Kennedy's years as a president, although their opinions are generally positive. His image with the public suffered some years after his death because of reports that he had romantic relationships with women other than Jackie throughout his marriage. In time, the public also learned about Kennedy's health problems. He suffered from severe back pain and Addison's disease. He often used strong medicine to help control the conditions. The health problems are at odds with Kennedy's image of health and love of sports. Yet even with these new details, Kennedy is still one of the country's best remembered leaders. He was a charismatic man whose career influenced many other Americans to enter public service. Americans also remember his stylish, cultured wife. Jackie Kennedy compared the Kennedy years at the White House to Camelot, the legendary court of King Arthur. Their remains, along with those of two of their children, are buried at Arlington National Cemetery, across the Potomac River from Washington. They are honored there with an eternal flame, one designed so the fire will never go out. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.